This morning's Liturgy of the Word continues the theme that we had from the Sunday Liturgy of the Word, which really revolves around fraternal correction. In today's first reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we can see St. Paul taking an approach that would be probably mostly frowned upon today and viewed as being rather intolerant and unlikable on Paul's part when he very clearly calls out a couple who are habitually living in a very wrong state of a man living with his father's wife. And while today we may consider Paul to be somewhat harsh, or at least our culture would, we really should consider three important aspects of Paul's fraternal correction, which is very important to keep in mind, that it is always important for us also to be willing to fraternally and charitably correct one another. But the first aspect would be to consider that really St. Paul has laid out for the Christian community very clearly what it means to be a Christian. He outlines when you are baptized into the Christian life, you are called to live the life of Jesus, and living that life comes with a certain moral standard that one takes to reject evil and to choose to do good. And if one habitually puts themselves in a position to fall short of that mark, then really, they themselves are making the decision to cut themselves off from the Christian community. And so Paul's sentence to cut them off from the community really is merely affirming what the couple's choice already has done. It's simply the consequence of their action that they themselves have rejected to live according to the teachings of Christ, and therefore they've cut them off, and Paul is simply affirming what the couple really decided by their action. The second part would be this notion when Paul says it is important to get rid of the old yeast lest it contaminate the entire batch. And that is to say that within that Christian community, if they were to accept and be complicit in the evil which was being done, it really would be tantamount to accepting it, to endorsing it, which would then really be providing the example that such behavior is in fact perfectly normal, perfectly good, and should be tolerable within their Christian community. In other words, St. Paul recognizes that in cutting off the wickedness that had existed, he really is trying to preserve the integrity of the community itself, lest it become corrupted by the acceptance and endorsement of what is evil and his judgment feeling toward Jesus. In other words, Paul is intending to ultimately be charitable and to help the couple in his fraternal correction for them. And while we can say that many times it is far easier to simply remain silent and therefore tolerant, it is more charitable to be able to fraternally correct and to suggest room for improvement. Today's Gospel provides a different kind of nuance to this theme of fraternal correction, and that is going to be when fraternal correction goes horribly wrong. Because what we see with the Pharisees, who really represent the religious establishment of the day, they are going to take exception with Jesus healing the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath, and they are going to accuse Jesus of violating the commandment of keeping the Sabbath holy by the mere fact that he healed this man who had a damaged hand and restored him to health. Now here with the Pharisees, unlike with St. Paul, the problem that they're going to have is that their motivation and their intention in trying to quote-unquote correct Jesus's behavior for what they are going to try to interpret as a violation of the law to keep the Sabbath holy, it's really that their motivation is to maintain the power and the influence which they already have over the people. They are, in a way, a part of the establishment, and they resent the fact that here comes Jesus, and he, by his words and by his deeds and his actions and his healing miracles, is ultimately leading people to true and authentic religion, to a true relationship with God. And they're resentful of the fact that they're losing their grip on the people and that some of their prestige is being weakened. And so now, out of their motivation, which is a corrupt motivation to maintain power, to maintain control, they're going to go and try to offer a correction. And this is really an example of what happens when we as people become compromised. Pharisees, I'm sure, started off with the best of intentions, but once their role kind of became compromised by their own ill intentions and their own ill motivations, it winds up compromising their action, the way they see things, and the actions which they have. And a similar thing we know can happen easily enough today. Sadly, sometimes, even within the church, we know it certainly happens in politics all the time, where when leaders' motivations and intentions become compromised, then all of a sudden the actions and judgments themselves become compromised, and what they judge or what they say may in fact be entirely incorrect, as is the fact what we have with the Pharisees in today's gospel. That for us, brothers and sisters, I think is really a reminder. We don't have to be perfect in order to offer fraternal correction for another, but we do have to be sincere in our own intention and motivation to be holy, to desire for holiness, and to sincerely strive to be as such. And so today, as we go forward, let us ask God the grace that, on the one hand, we would always have the courage and the charity in our hearts to be able to fraternally correct situations which are objectively wrong, that we would be willing to listen when we are approached, perhaps, to correct our own actions. And let us ask for the grace that our motivations and intentions would always be pure and never become compromised, so that we would always be able to judge with the heart of Jesus. Amen.